Okay, thank you very much, Brother Allen. And we would like to welcome you all. It is Friday, the 26th of April, and we are continuing our study in Volume 3, Thy Kingdom Come. We're in chapter or study 4, The Cleansing of the Sanctuary. And we're at a heading right now, until 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. This is a very interesting section we've come to. We've been dealing with some of the history that's led up to this, and we're getting into Daniel's struggle here. He was there in the midst of the 70 years of captivity and very concerned about the people of Israel and trying to figure out what was going on. Why was this happening? And was it ever going to come to an end? And he has been given a lot of information. And the information is rather cryptic, but it kind of speaks of a time of trouble and some turmoil, a lot of periods alluded to, and he really wants to know what's happening, if this will come to an end. And so Gabriel comes and gives him a lot of information. And we're here with this vision of the 2300 days. Right now, this period of time is kind of floating for us. Doesn't give us a lot of information when it begins or when it ends. It's hard to pin down that way. And so we're going through these scriptures, and we'll get into Daniel 9 a little bit, and that'll help us pin this down. And so that's where we're going today. I really want to give my appreciation to Brother Jerry for leading last week. We were not unable to be here, and I really appreciate him filling in for us. I don't know if there are any questions left over from last time. If not, we will get into this. And several have come in. There's Sister Chris. Welcome to you. I'm not familiar with Chris Hall, but we're glad to have you with us. And let's see here. I'm scanning the list. Oh, Sister Marguerite has joined us. Welcome, Sister Marguerite. Sister Ellie has joined us. Welcome, Sister Ellie. Okay. Good to see so many names. Our first question tonight is, how did Daniel know that the 2300 days were not literal 24-hour days? They're spoken of as days, but how did he know that they weren't literal days? And then the scriptures speak of Daniel as languishing or fainting. All this was affecting him physically as well as mentally. Why did Daniel languish for several days, and why was it good at that time, at Daniel's time, that this was rather cryptic and wasn't able to interpret it? And before I honor Brother Tom's hand here, I'd like to say I got a call tonight from Brother Thomas Adam. Brother Thomas Cannell. He is quite under the weather, running a pretty high fever. I think he went in to get some treatment for this, and he needs to rest, and so he just wanted his love brought to each of you, and he might be fighting a little bit of an infection or something. He didn't go into any detail, but he did want his love brought to you, but he's not with us. And sometimes Brother Tom fills in for us with some scriptures and things like that, which we really appreciate. Oh, I just looked at the chat session here, and I see Brother Brian's explaining the Mandelbrot set to us. Okay. Brother Tom, your hand is up. Over to you.
Well, my comment is sort of before your question, when it's interesting, and the pastor does touch on it, that Daniel would be only looking for things that apply to Israel, rather he not knowing anything about a spiritual portion of God's arrangement coming with Christ and on down. And so he was looking for the fleshly, the Israel, rather than the spiritual. And it's just interesting to realize that in putting oneself in Daniel's position, you realize that that's the thing you'd be looking for. Just like it was when Jesus came. The disciples were looking for Israel to come out from under the Roman yoke. That was the thing they would expect. But how he knew the 2300 year, I'm not into that yet. Back to you, over.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Tom, because this is really kind of key. Daniel's way back in the period of captivity, dealing with that situation and trying to, well, he was seeking for forgiveness. We are in the time of our Lord's return looking back, and we can see all this fulfillment of history that was revealed to Daniel that he couldn't possibly understand. But with the Holy Spirit, with the keys provided by the seventh messenger, we're able to have this perspective. So it really enhances our faith to see how this was worked out. Okay, sorry for rambling on here. We have a hand from the Fackers. Over to the Fackers connection.
Well, Brother Bill, wasn't it simply the fact that all the promises that were related to Daniel of Israel and all the things that were told to him could not possibly take place in 2300 literal days? That's less than 8 years. So I think that's my understanding of how Daniel was able to determine that it couldn't be literal days. Over.
Okay, excellent. And that really is the key answer, that 2300 days, 2300 24-hour days is not that much. And so Daniel realized that this must be a much longer period. And it was upsetting to him. Okay, thank you, Brother Bill. Very good point. And Brother Alan, your hand is next. Over to you.
1, 2, 3. Well, the secret is given in the paragraph where the scripture is quoted but not cited, and that's from Daniel 8:26. Daniel 8:26. And the Hebrew is more emphatic than the King James. that he was to seal up the vision, for it refers to the distant future. It refers to the distant future. The NIV actually has that more correct. And so he knew that it wasn't to be a literal 2300 days, which would just be a few years, but distant future. So this didn't help him any, though, and until what we get into in the next few paragraphs was revealed to him. Over.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Brother Alan. And yeah, the vision of the evening and the morning, which is told, is true. For it shall be for many days. Okay, very good point. Thank you, Brother Alan. And our next hand is from Brother Jerry. Over to you, Brother Jerry.
Well, thank you, Brother Bill. And just building a little bit on both Brother Alan's and Brother Bill's comments and others, not only the it could not be fulfilled in such a short time, but also verse 19, along with what Brother Alan said, says that the vision is for the time of the end.
Yeah, I'm letting it go.
Oh, one, two, three. Oh. Okay, I heard another voice there.
I'm sorry, that was me. I should have had my phone muted.
Okay.
My mic muted.
Okay, but verse 19 says that it shall be for the time of the end. So, as in Daniel, the 12th chapter and the 11th chapter, the time of the end was something that Daniel knew was out sometime in the future. But even in the 12th chapter, the vision was sealed, and sealed for Daniel because it wasn't intended for him to understand this aspect. It didn't relate particularly to the end of the 70 years of desolation, of which he was waiting for the release. But Daniel was a rather old man at this time. He had waited a long time, and he was waiting for the deliverance of Israel. But God's perspective is the deliverance of both natural and spiritual Israel, which was many days ahead, and relates to the time of the end. Over.
Okay, thank you. And my apologies. I always try to mute my mic whenever I go over for a comment, and I left my mic unmuted then. We had a phone call, and I was yelling or communicating with Donna, so my apologies for that. But I appreciate your comment and this point of remembering that a lot of this was directed towards us at this future time and not particularly to Daniel. And I think there's indications along the way here. And this one verse that Brother Alan points out to us, and I thank you for giving us the New International Version, for it concerns the distant future. And so this was a clue to Daniel. Okay. We have another hand from Brother Alan. Go ahead, Brother Alan.
One, two, three. Well, you sparked something with the way you said that. And then when we look at this scripture, it also has another phrase there, which we see in a few other places. Seal up the vision. So it's interesting that these important prophecies were not intended for Daniel, as you said, but they were intended for us. And now the time has come for these things to be unsealed. What a blessing. Over.
You know, you touch upon something that I've come to appreciate more and more. There's this concept of sealing up a vision. The last question on the list here. I think this idea of sealing up a vision is going to be a key concept. not only does it, I don't know, maybe I should wait till my discussion till then to discuss this, but I really appreciate the allusion to this, that not only does it kind of close it up, but it's sealing it for a purpose. And the purpose really is to be understood in the future. Okay, thank you, Brother Alan. Brother Jerry, over to you.
Well, just one thought escaped me in my earlier comment, is another clue is that this vision was not the, the standard word for a singular word days, as in the Hebrew word yom, I think Y-O-M, something like that, but it is literally evenings and mornings, which is a day to the Jewish thinking, because there was the sacrifices in the evening and the morning sacrifices marking a day's boundary. But Daniel had a clue here that this was something rather peculiar in the revelation of the 2300 evenings and mornings. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Jerry, for that clarification on the meaning behind the thought of days. Okay, and our next hand is from the Packer Connection. Over to you.
Well, Brother Bill, I was just looking at another translation, which is the Bible in Basic English. It seems to give the thought. The 26th verse, and the vision of evenings and mornings, which has been talked of, is true, and keep the vision secret, for it has to do with the far-off future. So I think that's an interesting thought, to keep it secret until it was revealed to the church class. And the 19th verse says, and he said, see, I will make clear to you what is to come in the latter time of the wrath, for it has to do with the fixed time of the end. So I just wanted to share that. Over.
Okay, and I'm glad you did share that, because it really conveys the thought. I think the sealing has embedded in it, record this accurately as you have heard it, but don't try to understand it completely. Seal it up, record it, and it will be available at a future time when it'll have greater meaning. Isn't it marvelous the way this was conveyed so long ago to be understood later? I find that very faith strengthening and marvelous. Okay. Any other thoughts on this aspect? And let's add this other question in. Hang on a second. I want to get back to the last verse in Daniel 8, the 27th verse, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days, and afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So the question is, why was it not understood? And why was that a good thing? And we have a hand from Brother Tom. Go ahead, Brother Tom.
Yes, I was trying to post scripture. What you just said is echoed about God long ago setting things in motion in script concerning our day. It's echoed in Habakkuk, I can't tell how to get this thing on the screen. There we go. Habakkuk 2 and 3. So, but when you said that, I immediately thought about how the Heavenly Father was so careful. He wanted to make sure we were not disappointed, we're not disillusioned, that we weren't discouraged, but to, even though it seemed to tarry, wait for it, because it will not tarry. Over.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. That ties in perfectly at this point with the Habakkuk text. And the very same, principle here, to record the vision, make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. I've always appreciated, this isn't a literal running, but it's an understanding that those that are studying the scriptures may, and reading through the scriptures may understand it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and in the end it shall speak. It shall be understood. Okay, excellent tie-in. Thank you, Brother Tom. Hang on just a second here. Oh, I really like that. That's one of my favorite hymns, and a very appropriate verse that applies here nicely. Thank you, Brother Allen. Okay, I'm just trying to get this verse in the text here, and I'm not quite as quick as this as Brother Thomas is. So Daniel 8:27, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. So why did this affect Daniel this way, and why was it good that none understood it? And Brother Tom puts on, not time yet to be understood. Very true. And we have a hymn from Brother Allen. Go ahead, Brother Allen.
1, 2, 3. Well, hymn 110 is what was posted on the screen there, and it's also one of my favorite concepts for that principle. In God's mercy, he didn't permit Daniel or anybody else to know how far in the distant future this was. Now, He helps him later on as we get into the 70 weeks thing, prophecy. But regarding this, he didn't permit him to see the details, because not only wasn't it time, and I agree with that, but it would have been very discouraging to him, even more so, for a different reason, if he knew how far in the distant future this prophecy was going to be fulfilled. Over.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Brother Allen. It would have been discouraging. It's good for us that we don't know exactly when the last member of the church is going to go beyond the veil. If we knew it was going to be tomorrow, we'd probably be discouraged. If we knew it was going to be 100 years from now, it might be a point of discouragement. Hopefully not, but it could be. And so we know the Lord is in control. Okay, let's go on and read this paragraph. And I'm just checking something here. I think I'll start with Brother Tom in reading tonight. Brother Tom, would you read that paragraph? It begins, Daniel Who Was Thinking, on page 105, towards the bottom. Over to you.
Very good, I got it. Daniel, who was thinking specially of Israel and of the fulfillment of God's promises to the fathers, perceived that all that he had heard could not occur in 2,300 literal days, especially when Gabriel said to him, "But shut thou up the vision, for it will be fulfilled after many days." And though he knew not how long each symbolic day would be, he was made sick at heart by the thought of so many evils as were coming upon God's people, though he saw not the change of that name from fleshly to spiritual Israel. We read, "And I, Daniel, languished and was sick for some days, and I was astonished at the vision, but none could interpret it. As well it was for Daniel and for all God's children from then to the time of the end that the dread significance of that vision of papal power and persecution and of saintly suffering was not more clearly revealed in advance. Our merciful Heavenly Father, while willing to prove His people in the furnace of affliction and persecution, in order to prepare a people for the exceeding and eternal weight of glory promised, deals with us upon the principle, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." End of paragraph. Back to you. Over.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Tom. So, I don't have this question, but I wouldn't mind some expansion on what you think this sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How would you explain that principle in your own words? I'll add that question. But the question that we sent out was, why was the prophecy of 70 weeks. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not there yet. We're just finishing up this 105. My apologies, I'm running ahead. So, just let me ask that question. How would you express this principle, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, in this connection? Yes, Brother Tom, over to you. We see your hand.
Well, I hadn't thought about it before, but in seeing Daniel's position and the language he had, is seeing, looking at the evils, I realized that is what we go through. He was pre-experiencing what we in our day are going through, because it makes us sick in a way. See the evils that are in the world, and the turmoil, and the everything that is so contrary to righteousness. It is depressing, and yet we're not depressed, because we know that it is part of what has to be in order for the kingdom to be established. There has to be this turmoil, time of trouble, and it's troubling to us to see it, but we're not part of it. Not directly, maybe a little indirectly, but we share in Daniel's languish in our day. Over.
Thank you. Brother Tom, I like that expression. As Tom was speaking, what it would have been for Daniel if in this prophecy Gabriel went into amount of detail that the pastor does in the Man of Sin chapter. How discouraging that would be to him to realize that degree of injustice and violence towards mankind. But, yeah, he was undergoing a tremendous amount of discouragement for the evil and the captivity that he was experiencing at his time. He did not need to have this additional knowledge at that time of what was coming. Okay, thank you, Brother Tom. Brother Bill, we see your hand over to you.
Well, Brother Bill, as Alan put up there, is from Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And our Lord's admonition to us and to the disciples is given there. And I thought the comments were very good on that scripture and the expanded comments. Take no anxious, burdensome care for the morrow. If you're anxious, it's really a burden. And be neither careless nor anxious. That's from 6th volume, page 573. And sufficient brings out sufficient unto. Sufficient also is the guidance of the Lord. And we're to watch and wait and wait for it. And we know that we watch and pray for the Lord's leading. And the evil brings out the difficulty thereof. If our hopes be not realized so soon as we expected, we are not to worry. We are blessed with the truth and knowing there is work to be done. Reprint 5374. So, and then we also have scriptures like Sister Marilyn's scripture, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So you cast all your anxious thoughts on our Lord. So what a good admonition this is for us. And of course, Daniel didn't have the blessing of the Holy Spirit that we have. Over.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry for the delay. Really good emphasis on this text that Brother Alan put up there from Matthew 6. Take no anxious thought for the future. And so the Heavenly Father did not burden Daniel with details about the future. There was some hints in there, but did not burden him with it. And I really like the 1 Peter text that Sister Marilyn suggested. Oh, okay. Thank you, Brother Alan, for putting that up there. And the emphasis also, the definition there of to be anxious about behind that word, take no thought. Okay, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Brother Tom, we see your hand over to you.
Yes, to impress ourselves a little more closely, personally, with this language is, and I'm sure a lot of elders speaking, particularly ones who prepare talks or even brethren within classes, when they see a problem, and it can make them ill to see a problem in the class. It's same thing for a doctrinal question, and to be troubled not knowing what, how to understand the scripture, and the Heavenly Father can permit that go on for weeks and maybe months, and finally the Heavenly Father opens up something, and the light dawns, and that troublesome, that sickening, that troubled spirit you have when you can't understand how can this be, and then all of a sudden the Heavenly Father gives it to you. Brethren, do this, I'm sure. It's that's a personal way to apply it. And in our day. I guess that's it. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Tom. Some good points there to think about. There is a phrase that I heard recently, and it just keeps coming back to my mind, and you brought this back to my mind, where Pastor Russell says, it's in Precious Promises, and I don't know where, but I think the thought is, it would not be permitted unless it would result in a blessing. And so this kind of thinking helps us deal with the anxieties of the moment, knowing that the Heavenly Father is allowing this to come upon us for a wise reason. Okay, thank you, Brother Tom. Let's go on to the next few paragraphs, and shuffling windows here. There's about three paragraphs here, but the question covering these is, why was the prophecy of 70 weeks given to Daniel following the vision of 2300 days? And we're going to get into this into a little more detail in the next question as well.
I put the three paragraphs on the screen, Brother Bill. It starts with 106.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So there are the paragraphs on the screen. And for those that are helping me with the scribing, and several are, I really appreciate it. I got the source from that, and I'll read it from what I quoted earlier. We have the guarantee from the Lord that all things shall work together for good to those that love God, who put their trust in Him. And this is the sentence: whatever would not be a blessing to us would not be permitted. I stated that in the reverse. So whatever would not be a blessing to us would not be permitted. Thank you. And that was from reprint 5546. And I think I'll just copy this so it's available to everyone. Okay, thank you for sending that to me. All right, Brother Allen, we see your hand. Over to you.
1, 2, 3. Well, you know, it's really hard not to want to go ahead to the succeeding paragraphs here, because they go into the details concerning this matter of the 2300 days in relationship. But the point is, the underlying principle that's introduced here is that the 70 weeks prophecy is tied to the 2300 days prophecy. And the sequence in which it's given is really important. So that's the short answer. we'll get the longer answer to that when we get into the next page, couple of pages. Over.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Brother Allen. Very good introductory answer. And I think we'll go ahead and read this. I think I'll have Sister Jan read for us next. Sister Jan, I'm going to have you read the first paragraph, and then I might have Sister Opal read the next two. So, your paragraph, Sister Jan, begins with Daniel, who was more interested. Over to you.
Daniel, who was more interested in Israel than in the Persian ram or the Grecian goat, knew from Jeremiah's prophecy that the 70 weeks of captivity in Babylon was a punishment upon Israel for sins, and so now he judged from the vision of coming persecutions instead of exaltation and glory as he had expected, that it betokened Israel's sin and God's wrath. Hence he prayed earnestly for forgiveness of Israel's sins and for the fulfillment of the promises made to the fathers. This is told in few words in Daniel 9:2-19. Daniel saw not the scope of the divine plan as we may now behold it. Nevertheless, his earnestness and faith in the promises were pleasing to God, who therefore revealed to him something more concerning this vision, an increase or further elaboration of it, in those features which specially pertained to fleshly Israel. Daniel supposed that the end of the 70 years' desolation of the land of Israel, while its people were in Babylon, was to be thus prolonged, or continued, for many 2,300 days. God corrects this error by sending Gabriel to inform him that the captivity would end when the 70 years were complete, and that the city of Jerusalem and the temple would be rebuilt, though in a troublous period. Over.
No sound.
I'm sorry. Sister Opal, over to you. Would you read the next two paragraphs? The first one of those is, it was while Daniel was praying. Over to you.
It was while Daniel was praying over this vision of the 2,300 days, which he misunderstood to mean a prolonging of the 70 years captivity in Babylon, that Gabriel was sent to further explain that misunderstood version. Thus, Daniel 9:21-27. And he talked with me and instructed me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to teach thee that thou mayest understand. From the beginning of the prayers, the further declaration of God's plan now to be communicated went forth, and I am come to tell it, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand this further matter, and have the understanding of the vision of the 2,300 days. 70 weeks are cut off or set apart, fixed or determined upon thy people Israel and upon the holy city Jerusalem, etc. Over.
Okay, thank you, Sister Opal, and thank you, Sister Jan, for reading this for us. Okay, this kind of introduces us to the fact that the 70 weeks was linked to this 2,300 day prophecy, and We'll get into this in more detail in the next question, but why was the prophecy of 70 weeks given to Daniel following the vision of 2300 days? And Brother Jerry, we see your hand. Over to you.
Thank you, Brother Bill. I'm going to hold and let somebody else explain the details of this, but it's a natural question. If Daniel asks, what's this prophecy of the evenings and mornings, and someone says to him as a messenger, it's going to be 2300 days, the natural question to follow is, well, when does it begin and when does it end? You know, it's just like, here's a length of time as a measure, but where do I put it? In past, present, or future? So I think that the 2300 days was given to help him anchor that. But what I wanted to focus on was something that was read in the first paragraph by Sister Jan, and it's an interesting principle, is that sort of the middle of that paragraph in 106, that Daniel saw not the scope of the divine plan as we do. But rather than God saying, it's none of your business, I'll tell it to another generation, he didn't do that. He said that Daniel had great earnestness in his plea, and therefore God was pleased to give him a little peek, a little thread of thought. I'm not going to leave you hanging. There is something here. And certainly Daniel didn't understand all, even what was given, but it was something more to realize that he was given a little glimpse into something that was going to trail down into the future, and that it related to some very important things. And maybe it's a good rule for us too. There are things that are not necessary for us to understand, but with great earnestness, the Lord also blesses us with enough to get a little glimpse that keeps our hope alive and our faith and perseverance vital. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Jerry. I really appreciate the thought of how the Lord provides for us without having to fill in every detail of what the Lord what the future holds for us. Okay, excellent. Thank you. Okay, any other thoughts on this connection between the 2300 days and the 70 weeks? Yes, Brother Allen, we see your hand. Go ahead.
1, 2, 3. Well, I was hoping some others would comment on this too. But I appreciate this sentence right after the part Brother Jerry quoted, which I also appreciated. Daniel supposed at the end of the 70 years desolation of the land of Israel while its people were in Babylon was to be thus prolonged or continued for many, that is 2300 days. God corrects this error. Well, we can get at least two things from this. First of all, it shows what his misunderstanding. He was concerned that the 70 years wasn't going to end as he thought it would, that it was going to be prolonged a literal 2300 days. So, okay, he finds out this is not literal, but it's symbolic days. He still doesn't quite understand it's a year for a day. But then the other point here is, and this is another subject, but it gets into the 70 years desolation. And this ties in with that, and it's a further confirmation that we understand the chronology correctly. I realize that's a different subject, but it is related. Over.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Brother Allen. Very good point. And it's a further confirmation for us that we do understand the chronology. And I think the key here, and I don't know if it goes... He doesn't really get into it here, but he really says in this prophecy when that 70 years begins and what event begins it, and it really is the beginning of their release from captivity, when Jerusalem will be rebuilt. So he really gives that hope to Daniel. Okay. Ten minutes left. I think I'll go ahead and get into 70 weeks different from 70 years. Very good point. Yeah, something to bear in mind. Daniel is living inside that 70-year captivity period, and it would come to an end when they were able to go back to Jerusalem. And the 70-week period began during that point of release. Brother Jerry, we see your hand. Go ahead.
Well, Brother Bill, on that very point, while Daniel may have been related so much to these 70 years desolation, he saw 70 as a factor. And, but this, almost the Lord says, no, I didn't mean 70 years, but we say 70 weeks, but literally it is 70 sevens or 70 groups of seven. And it's a very interesting word in the Hebrew. I won't try to go into that, but it's 70 sevens. We would say weeks, because there's 7 days in a week. But, essentially he's saying, no, it's 70 times seven. And, so it began to stretch Daniel's mind and our looking back to look at the right application for that as well. So, the weeks and the years are different prophecies, but Daniel was coming to the end of one prophecy and he was looking ahead to a larger one for Israel reaching to the Messiah even. Over.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Really, really well expressed. I'm at a decision point here, and I think I'm leaning towards not getting into the next section. It's three more paragraphs, and it's really important that we understand, and it really deals with this aspect of sealing that we talked about earlier. So I think I'll hold on to this question. I know we're not quite at the end of the hour yet, but I think we'll just barely have a time. So I'll hold this question. How do the scriptures inform us that the 70 weeks began at the same time as the 2300 days began? And be interested in your thoughts at that. Any other thoughts or questions? And if not, I think I'll bring this study to a close a little bit earlier and transition to our devotional portion tonight. If not, let's go ahead and